you see it going. So I need to do it. Go back here.
All right, this morning we have a message on prophecy, giving it and receiving it. Before we begin on it, though, I want to ask and answer a couple of questions. Hopefully I'm asking maybe your questions, the questions of your heart. And the first one would be, why this message? Why do we need a message on prophecy? Well, number one, there's a plague of false prophets. And secondly, false prophets as well as true prophets are dramatically influencing Christian culture in the church. So God has just given me a burden to teach on this. I don't know, some of you may want to cut my head off after I'm done, but here we go. And the interesting thing is about false prophets is that many false religions started that way. A false prophet started a whole religion that people adhere to and misleading many. And the fourth one is, Paul desired that we all prophesy. Now, figure that out. So this should be hopefully an informative and interesting message, maybe a lively one. But some questions that we want to ask and hopefully answer throughout the message. Is prophecy only for prophets? Is prophecy only for prophets? And then, what do we do with a false prophecy? And what is a true prophecy? How can we discern and distinguish a true prophecy when we hear it? And how is the gift of prophecy to be used? So these will be the questions that we'll go through and try to answer for you. All right, if you grab your Bible, turn to 2 Timothy. It's just to the left of Hebrews. And immediately left of, or to the right of 1 Timothy. That might help find it. 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4. 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4. Yep. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. Paul was counseling Timothy on this, Timothy being a pastor of a church, and it happened back then. This was a statement that Paul was making that was something that Timothy had to deal with back in the first century, but it is also true, even spanning time arriving at today. It becomes maybe even more true. People not wanting to endure sound doctrine. I don't think that we as Christians are any worse than the Christians back then or any better. I just think that when we talk about sound doctrine, we've had 2,000 years of teaching and developing doctrine and forming doctrine statements, even denominations. Every denomination of a church has a doctrine, a statement of faith that they follow. And the thing about denominations, you may ask, well, why do we have so many denominations? The answer is because each denomination has at least one, if not a few, distinctives about what they believe, about how they worship. And it's their workout of how they take the Bible. So we live in an age where people want to have the ears tickled. In other words, we want to hear what we want to hear. In my position, I often have people, you know, give me a book or ask me to watch a video or something. And, you know, sometimes it's a little off base. Sometimes it's not on target. It's not biblical. So what is happening in our day and age, because of the media, because of the internet, because of the ability for us to quickly communicate, you know, it's getting so incredible. Now on Facebook, you can stream stuff live. Just, you know, click a camera and start streaming stuff live. And so everybody and anybody can have a voice on a topic. And we are media consumers. And so we'll come across these things. And what I hope to give you today is a way to weed out, sort out what you might listen to, what you might follow, and what to do with something when you hear it. I first want to give you what the Bible says about the office of the prophet in the New Testament. So if you'll turn with me to Ephesians, if you're in 2 Timothy, go to the left a few books. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, we'll begin with verse 11. Are you there? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. So, these are the offices, if you will, that God has given to the church, and there's a purpose. The overall purpose, the overriding purpose, is to equip the saints. Who are the saints in the church? Yeah, you're all saints. So, you know, if I say Saint Jeff, you know, everybody knows who I'm talking about. So we are to be equipping the saints to do the work of the ministry. So this is my primary job. You know, God has called me to be a pastor, and this is my primary job, to equip you and the saints to do the work of the ministry. So I believe that that's one of the main things that Jesus is going to judge me for when I stand before him. Also, people that serve in these offices have an accountability with Jesus on what we say and what we teach. We should say and teach in the fear of God. You know, not be flippant about it. Not be teaching something that's off base. It's an agenda we have, maybe. Maybe it's our pet peeve. Maybe, heaven help us, we're trying to serve ourselves. Maybe we're trying to enrich ourselves. What's that expression? Fleece the flock? So, I put together 10 points on how we can properly assess if somebody is a prophet within the church or if they're using their gift of prophecy. And it may not be all the points, but I think it'll give you a solid foundation on assessing that. First one being, the prophets are given to the church. They're given to the church. They are to serve in the church. They are to use their gift within the church. We say this is the one another place. And God gives each one of us gifts. And we are to use it to edify one another. That's a Christianese word for fill one another up. Number two, to equip the saints in the church. So it's not just the pastor that this scripture says it is to equip the saints in the church. You know, it's the apostle, the prophet, the teacher, the evangelist. Number three, to build up the body of Christ. So as we come, as we study, as we fellowship, we should be built up. We should grow in our faith. We should be encouraged. We should be directed. We should be led. Built up. Not come in here and get beaten up, getting the Bible thrown at you, getting judged. You know, that's not what we're about. I think that's what Jesus is calling the church to be. Number four, all of this is done with a view towards the unity of Christ and the knowledge of Christ. So unity and knowledge of Christ. We say it often, this is not a political party. Church is not to be dominated or known for as a political party. When people lean that direction, I like to tell them, well, we don't live in a red state or a blue state. We live in a gold state. And we are the party of Jesus.
I like that.
One way you can tell if a prophet is not geared towards the unity and knowledge of Jesus is if their message, if their ministry is reflected towards themselves. If they are trying to build themselves up, enrich themselves, gain more power, gain control over you. These are things that would mark a false prophet. Number five, a prophet is not a mystic nor mystical. A prophet should be very well understood. As we go on, we'll see how that plays out, how you can distinguish that. A prophet must have high integrity. They must be accountable to the body. So this is, if a prophet is part of a church, they're going to be held accountable. The things that they say, their behavior, you know, these offices that God calls people into are not just for anybody. In other words, we are accountable for our behavior because God sees what we're doing when we're not in front of the people. A true prophet must be humble, and they must know that their word, their statements, are not God's word. When they're speaking, they should be repeating or expounding on God's word, not their word. And that's important to distinguish, and we'll get into that a little bit more as we go. Eight, they must not contradict Scripture. And this is key. What I want to encourage you, what I hope to maybe teach you a little bit today, is when you hear a prophecy, to go to the Bible and try to find the foundation and the root of what they're saying.
Maybe another one's kind of, you know, like 8.5. not take Scripture out of context.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
You know, not just read one verse, which completely changes the meaning,
right,
instead of reading a passage, which actually relays what.
Well, and that's how false religions get started. A scripture that is true is taken out of context and then built upon until you have this whole teaching that's departed from Scripture.
And then you've got the law floating on a turtle.
So nine, a prophet must foretell Scripture. And 10, a prophet must demonstrate control over their gift. You know, God gives us each of these gifts, but the gifted is to exercise control over their gifting.
I have a question.
Sure.
Okay, the Bible is full of prophecy, I mean, to the end of the earth and on. Why do we need more prophecy than it is in here? I don't get it.
That's a great question. I should have put it up on there, but we're going to answer that.
Okay.
Yeah. Great question. All right. So, this is a classic one. It is a challenging one, and it's something that if you haven't run into personally yet, you will. Someone gave me a prophetic word and prophesied over me. Turn to 1 John, so that's almost to the book of Revelation, 1 John 4. And John calls us to be wary, he alerts us, and he says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world." So, this testing, this point that believing a spirit is leading us to the fact that people, false prophets, will speak from a spirit that is not of God. You know, we all know there's false spirits out there, right? So somebody may be speaking from a false spirit. So we need to test it. And the number one test is whether they believe in Jesus and Jesus come in the flesh and all of the sound tenets of the faith. And if their word, if the prophecy lines up with that or whether it contradicts it. Okay, so... if you'll turn with me to 1 Corinthians 12, sorry about the darkness there. 1 Corinthians 12. So go to your left several books. 1 Corinthians 12. Now we're going to kind of get into some of the meat and the scriptures that deal with prophecy and prophets. 1 Corinthians 12. And these, probably most of these verses will be familiar to you. 1 Corinthians 12 will begin with verse 7. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. In other words, the actual visible outworking of the Holy Spirit. That's manifestation. For the common good. Verse 8. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and we're talking about the Holy Spirit here, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another distinguishing of the spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as He wills. So, we can't just in our own self decide, well, hey, I like that one, that's the one I'm going to do. You know, it's good to desire to do something, and we must pray and ask for it, but if God doesn't give it to you, you ain't got it. So what do we see in here? We see some different spiritual giftings, and this is couched in a whole chapter of how we're a body, and how we work together, how we edify one another, teach one another, encourage one another. And some of the things in here it says... going back up to verse 8, we see the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom. So, a word of wisdom would be where somebody speaks something to you that has godly wisdom to it. Not just a great quote, but it's a word of wisdom. And wisdom that comes from the heavens, from the Father above, is first peaceable and pure. And we can know God's wisdom to be distinguished from worldly wisdom. So, when people say something to you, it might be a word of wisdom, not prophecy. So we distinguish there. We see also in verse 8, a word of knowledge. Okay, a word of knowledge is what it sounds. Some people have learned something, they've gained something. All knowledge comes from God, all godly knowledge comes from God. So they've gained something, maybe they've studied, but they have a word of knowledge. And the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge, the things that are said may not be something that you can find in the Bible, but they need to be accountable to the Bible. In other words, if God is speaking through them, if the Holy Spirit is speaking through them, it's not going to contradict the Bible. It may not be something that you can find a chapter and verse on. But that's a word of wisdom and word of knowledge. And we need that. We need that. You get these really old guys with gray hair that have been teaching forever, like Neil, you know, and John. You know, they're going to have a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge. And if they give it to you, you better listen to it. You know? It's gonna be good for you. So, going further down, maybe it'll be in a different scripture. Have you heard those words, exhortation and admonishing? Same thing. When you get a word from somebody, it may be that category, exhortation or admonishing, but not a prophecy. So, when you hear something, you want to first try to distinguish. Is this a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, a word of exhortation, a word of admonishment? Because those are all things that God wants us doing within the body. All right, turn with me to Romans 12. So, go to the left, just a couple books, Romans 12, 6 through 8. Romans 12, 6 through 8. Since we have gifts that differ, in other words, we're not all going to have the same gifting. Just like Paul says when he's talking about a body. If we were all a hand, you know, what good is that going to do? You know, we need to be all the different parts of the body. So, since we have gifts that differ, and it differs because it's according to the grace given to us. Each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. So in other words, we don't want to go beyond God, beyond the measure of faith that God's given us, beyond the measure of grace that God's given us, and say things that maybe we've heard and they sound good, or maybe we're saying things that we don't really believe, or we haven't tested. So, to the measure of faith, and that implies that God will increase our faith as we go along, as we mature. Okay, 7. If your gifting is service, in his serving, or if it's teaching, he who's teaching, or he who exhorts, in his exhortation, he who gives, with liberality, he who leads, with diligence, he who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. So we have a real quick way to measure the gifts that we're seeing, hearing, and being in the presence of. It should be given with these attributes, because they are from God. All right. We have another issue that we need to address, that we need to deal with in this topic about the office of the prophet. In the Old Testament, we had prophets, and we've just been reading how in the New Testament, God has given the church prophets. Now, how many of you have read that scripture in the law where it says, if a prophet gets a prophecy and it doesn't come true, you're to kill him? Anybody hear that?
Yeah.
Now, does that sound like something we should be doing?
Only if you live in the Old Testament.
Exactly. We don't live under the law. But even more so, the ministry, the office of the prophet has changed from the Old Testament to the New Testament, from the law and grace. It's changed. Just the same as how we approach God. In the Old Testament, we had to approach him through a priest. And the priest is the daredevil that went into the Holy of Holies for us.
Didn't they also tie a rope around his ankle with a bell so if he died, they would hear
him? That's why I said daredevil, because, you know, there was a genuine and a necessary fear of God. So, in the Old Testament, we approach God through a priest, but in the New Testament, how do we approach him? We go direct. We just go direct. And Jesus has become our high priest, so we just go direct. Let's look at how this impacts the office of prophet and the ministry of prophecy. Turn with me to John 14. So obviously go to the left a little bit. John 14. And we're going to look at two verses. John 14, verse 16. Jesus is talking to the apostles, and he's getting them ready to depart for his departure. And he says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. When you think about it, you know, the disciples and the apostles have been with Jesus for years, 3 years, 3.5 years, and they know he's going away. Jesus knows he's going away. And he knows that they're going to kind of be lost without him. You know, he's assigned them to carry on this ministry of the church and of the gospel. And he knows he's going to be gone. So he says, I'm going to send you another helper. And he will dwell with you, the Holy Spirit. In verse 26, so same chapter, move down to 26. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Remember, there's many times in the Gospels where we wonder, how could the apostles forget that? How could the apostles not understand that? Didn't they have to read their Bible?
That's a joke.
They have Bible. But the Holy Spirit is to would help them remember, helps us remember, and he's our teacher. Now, even more so, we all have this desire, and this desire is put into us by God, and that is to know what his will is for our life. Amen? Mm-hmm. At least you should be asking that question. Mm-hmm. Okay, turn back to 1 Corinthians. We're just getting a great tour of the Bible today, aren't we? 1 Corinthians 2. Now, God came up with this ingenious way for us to know his will. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10. For to us, God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us. So this is how we find out the will of God. The Holy Spirit dwelling within us will take our question, if you want to look at it this way, go to the throne room, get the question answered, get God's mind on the matter, bring it back to us, and we can know. It may be coming to us in an audible word. We may hear God speaking to us. He may send an angel, because angels are messengers for those who will inherit salvation. He may just have this quiet, gentle voice that we hear, we sense, and we know we got the answer from God. Of course, we need to be asking the question first. But even in spite of that, God says no. He knows what we need before we even ask. So sometimes we'll even get the answer without asking the question. But this is how we can know. So Donna, you're asking, why do we need the prophets? This is one of the answers is we do not need to rely. We should not rely. We should not depend on prophets. We should not depend on prophetic hotlines. How many of you ever heard about those? You know, you can call in and pay the guy some money and he'll give you a personal prophecy. We should not depend upon those. And, you know, lest you think I'm being a little harsh on it, I say the same thing about the pastors. Do not depend on the pastors. You need to check, you know, everything I say with Scripture. You can't depend on me to learn the Bible for you. You can't depend on me to pray for you. I mean, sure, I should pray for you. I do want to pray for you. But you can't depend on it because God is asking. You can't go mess up out in the world and say, well, Pastor didn't tell me not to do that. So the purpose of the Word of God, the Bible, is for us to get answers to these questions, to seek out the answers. And He wants us to seek it in His Word. But even more so, we have God's very Spirit dwelling within us that can go to the throne room and get us the answer. Okay? I'm not done with prophets yet. I didn't throw them out the window yet. So turn to the right a few more books to James, just right after Hebrews, James 1. Verse 5, James 1, verse 5. But if any of you lacks wisdom, we're not saying that you do, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So, when we want to know the answer to a question, we've got the Holy Spirit that will go seek it out for us. But God also says, I will give you wisdom. You just need to ask. And I'm not only going to give you just a little bit of wisdom, I'll give you a whole bunch of it.
Yes, Solomon asked.
Amen. So, we do not have to rely on the brother or sister at church that's got a lot of wisdom. You know, we can ask for our own wisdom. All right, let's look at one last one here. 2 Peter. So just turn to the right, two books, 2 Peter 2. 2 Peter 2, verse 1.
That's like a great understatement thing. If any of you likes wisdom, like God, we all do.
There's humility right there. I didn't want anybody going out posting on Facebook, Pastor said I lack wisdom. I'm not going there anymore.
We all do.
2 Peter 2, verse 1. Catch this. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce heresies, destructive heresies, not just regular heresies, destructive heresies. Even denying the master who has bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. So, this is part of the answer of the difference between Old Testament prophet, New Testament prophet. Old Testament prophet, we see, Peter is looking backwards and he's pointing out that Scripture had said that false prophets arose among Israel. Who was one of those famous ones, Don?
Balaam.
Yeah. And so they rose among church. The Old Testament prophets were given to Israel. The church didn't exist then. Old Testament prophets were given to Israel. And they had a certain message, didn't they? They were giving us prophecy that foretold the future, Bible future. They were under the accountability of if whatever they said didn't come true, you were to kill them. So, a lot of the messages in the Old Testament prophets were done with a certain audience in mind, and they were the tone was more of a law-based prophecy, but it was all geared towards looking ahead to when the Messiah would come, and sometimes even beyond that. So New Testament prophets reflect a little more like false teachers. Not all prophets, but false prophets are the same as false teachers in the New Testament. So Peter's saying here, within the church, you can have false teachers. And this is why you really need to develop your skills in listening to what is said and not just believing what is said because it sounds good, it tickles your ears, it puffs you up, it makes you feel good. And truth can do that too, but you need to go to Scripture. You need to be getting familiar with Scripture to test this out. Or maybe you need to talk to a brother or sister in the church, one of those people that have the word of wisdom or the word of knowledge. So, false teaching, false prophets should not be a surprise to us. They will appear in the church. And this is why we have to be on guard. We have to understand what God says about it. All right. And more of an answer for you, Donna, about why do we need prophets? Well, firstly, God communicates through the completed Bible. We have a fully completed Bible. We have the complete and full Word of God. You want to know what He thinks about a matter, what's going to happen in the future? You know, first, know that God has spoken to that in the Bible. So, the completion of this Bible impacts the nature of prophecy. It's a declaration of what God has already revealed through His Spirit, and it's been recorded. And that's what's so beneficial for us, is we have this word to go to. In the New Testament, the early church, they would depend upon prophets to come to their church to speak the word of God to them. They didn't have the Bible. Pastors didn't have Bible college or seminary to go to. So, there's three verses that you probably have heard that you ought to keep in mind about the Bible. The Bible contains all of the revelation we need for life and godliness. God says through Peter, He has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Secondly, the Word of God is living and active, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. So, when we read Scripture, it's not like reading a textbook or even a fiction book that we like. It's a book with the word, with teaching that is living and active. In other words, we read something. Where was I? Yesterday I had heard a great quote from somebody. They were talking with somebody that they were kind of joking around and said, oh, yeah, I see that Bible. I read that Bible before. And the person said, well, it's not about reading it. It's about doing it. But that was great. It's living and active. It should result in motion out of it. It should hit your heart, change your heart, transform you from the inside out. It's living and active. And it will convict you. If you're messing up and you're doing something wrong and you read the Word of God, it will convict you. And that's the Holy Spirit, the living God, working through the words that are written in here. And we remember Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:16, for the Bible is useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting, training in righteousness. So, first and foremost, we want to have our source as the Bible, because that's God's Word. That's God speaking to us. It's not just a storybook. It's not just a textbook. It's Him speaking to us. So Christians are to be wary of those who claim they have a new message. I got a new message from God. Because it's, everything God wants us to know is in here. There's some things that is tough to say to the saints in the church sometimes. You know, and that is, maybe you've been deceived. And if you haven't been, you could be. Or maybe you will be. You have to be wary. There is, in false prophecy, false personal prophecy, somebody comes up and they want to prophesy over you, give you your own personal prophecy, you know, your prophetic reading. There's this technique called a cold read. And this is where the person is able to follow a series of questioning and statements to draw out of you something that he can feed back to you and call it a prophecy.
Oh, I call that a tarot reading.
Yeah.
Could be. You know, I call it salesmanship. You know, when I was in sales, that's what I would do. I would go through and I'd ask people a series of questions, and then I knew what they were going to buy, and I knew how to sell it to them because they already told me. So cold read is they will set the scene. They will observe characteristics. They will look at you, see how you're groomed, what kind of clothes you're wearing, what kind of jewelry you have on. Maybe they notice what kind of car you drove.
All be done over the phone, too. They do the same thing.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And then they make deductions. So based on that, they begin to make some deductions. And then they do what they call pigeonholing and focusing. So they start to pull things out and test them. They still haven't told you what your prophecy is yet. They're still testing. They're still drawing things out of you. And then now they begin some certain questions, and they do a little more fishing, and they observe your responses. This is huge. They observe your responses. Like Hector's looking at me right now. I see his response is, I'm not quite sure about that. I'm not sure if I believe you on this one. Don't call on me. So you observe responses, and it tells the cold reader so much about you that he can use. Then they start using verbal tricks, and then when they start to get something out of you, like, I'm seeing the word M, and, oh, yeah, yeah. My dog's name is Mark. they start developing that. They take your responses and they start making conclusions, and they're leading you or being led by you. And then they use certain outs. They set up things that allow them to say, oh, yeah, yeah, that's not really what I meant, so that they don't lose your attention and your devotion. And then they go in to clinch the deal. So that's just real quick description of cold reads. And I'm telling you, it is very prevalent, and be very, very careful, you know, when somebody's doing that to you or with you or for you. Okay, so there's a few things I'd like you to know, because we've gone over a lot of stuff, and I want to get my heart out on some things I really want you to know, whether you take them to heart or not, that's up to you. Personal prophecy is basically akin to fortune telling. As Jim said, tarot cards, and that's a type of fortune telling. We want to know the future, so we go to somebody else. You know, tell me the future. Give me my personal prophecy. And I would say, in trying to be gracious towards personal prophecy, is it could at least, or at best, just be helping someone understand how a scripture applies to their life. So, you know, that's about maybe as gracious as I can get about it. Prophecy has not ceased. There are churches and pastors and people that believe that the gifts of the Spirit, including prophecy, have ceased. And that's not what we see. We read where prophets and the gift of prophecy was given to the church. What do you do if someone wants to give you a prophecy or prophesy over you? You have to make your own decision. And if you go along with it, then you need to really be careful, alert, check it with Scripture. They are real gifts, real spiritual gifts of wisdom, knowledge, revelation, which would be understanding, not a new thing. It might be new to the person. It might be new to you. But it's understanding. Sometimes, because God's Word is living and active, when we read the Scripture, we may get a new understanding, right? Doesn't mean that the Scripture's changed. It's just we've got a new understanding because maybe the first time we read it, we weren't ready for it. Maybe the first time we read it, we were reading it for a different purpose. Belief, conviction, thought, these are all real spiritual gifts. Exhortation and admonishing. In other words, using Scripture to inform you of what you should do or shouldn't do. God's promises in the Bible. And so many times these gifts, these real gifts, are claimed to be prophecy. And so this is where you have to distinguish. And hopefully I'm giving you some tools and methods on how to do that. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Because if we're not abstaining from every form of evil, then Satan has a toehold of how he can get into us through strongholds. So often this scripture is used to say, well, it's okay to listen to things or read things and just throw the bones out of the soup. You know, take the bones out of the soup and drink the soup. I'm not sure I go along with that. I think, you know, either eat the soup or you're eating poison. You know, instead of eating something that might taste like soup, but I'm taking out half of it because it's not good. Prophecy is, what is prophecy? It's scripturally sound. It is godly wisdom and godly witness. So, sometimes we'll want to go get a personal prophecy that tells us our future gift and calling. But it's not really personal prophecy. God, we already talked about how God is the one that gives you your gift, your spiritual gift. And he does it in his measure and in his time.
Sorry, just a question that's been rattling around in my brain for a while. I know some spiritual gifts have to explicitly have an interpreter, like speaking in tongues, there always has to be an interpreter there, otherwise it's just gobbledygook. It's nothing. So in the same way, doesn't prophecy also in some way have to have an interpreter or an interpretation there too? I mean, it can't be ambiguous, otherwise it's...
Well, Scripture doesn't call that out, but what I'm saying to you, the interpretation is for us to ask God and for us to search the Word. And that's how we get the interpretation.
I would even say the Holy Spirit gives us that interpretation. When we get intimate and the Holy Spirit's here and we're praying and we're meditating on the Word, and he knows the questions, like the broken places or the questions that are burning right now. Holy Spirit speaks to that. And he can give us that answer or that direction in such sweet ways.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's a part of this that when we're really on that walk where we're intimate and we're really pressing in, sometimes we're hurting or we're... Even then, if, you know, Holy Spirit can just break in with, like you said, Mark, he can break in just in his time, in his measure, and the way that he knows we can receive. And it can be a word of knowledge. It can be, you know, it can be that real, and he's done it a lot. I think we have a lot of testimonies that I don't know that we would call it prophecy because... But I do call it prophecy, but it's different than like that list, that counterfeit list. That's the counterfeit. But the Holy Spirit has an equivalent for us that comes out of intimacy. That's real. If you call it prophetic, if he gives me a word, even this morning, you know, it's like, Lord, and it's like, yeah, you're to go here. Not said as, you know, like a fall, but he told me, I mean, the Holy Spirit, he said, It's about the release of understanding and love about prophecy. He told me. You did. You know what? And it's like, I know that there's, from the place of intimacy with Jesus Christ, when we do anything that he's showing us, or if he says to me, Vicki, walk up to that person, and he sent the teenagers out this week to do a treasure hunt. They prayed, they had worship, they were in the Holy Spirit, and it's not like I don't do those, so it's not something I, but if he says, if he shows me his love for this person and says, they are broken, they are hurting, and they're about to do drugs, and I'm in City Market, and he says, you go over, lay your hand, and pray for them. Is that prophecy? It's like, no, but he might say to me, okay, and he has, and I know there's dozens of us in this room where he has said to me or shown me something to say to them. Now, I'm just being obedient. I'm in that place. I'm not deceived that the Holy Spirit is real. But he wants me to say what he wants. Not what I want. I'm not reading signs. I'm not looking at this. You know, it's just like, I'm kind of like, ooh, Lord. I mean, I'm humbled. I'm like shaken because it's like, okay. And he might say to that person, he had me do it with a word of knowledge in a car accident, to hop into the car with a 95-year-old. And all the Holy Spirit, I put my hand, he said, you know, ask him if his heart is broken. And when he came, he's like, yes, my wife of 60 years just died. That was not me. But and it wasn't maybe prophetic in that we're speaking something. But over that person with suicide, the Lord knew. He said, I mean, I can't always even remember. Now, that doesn't mean it's demons coming through. Because when the Lord has you in that moment, he wanted to say, although your family has worshipped devils and demons, God has. He has a hope and a future and a plan for you. It was more than the scripture, though, because he spoke into the circumstances. Now, that young man or person knew God was speaking, not me. I had no way. I wasn't reading signs. I wasn't doing anything. But kind of in trepidation, too, when the Lord tells us, boom, do this, boom, say this, when our hearts are right. He doesn't do that all the time.
Well, you bring up a great point. My next point here is God will give us a message to say to someone. And it's not so much prophecy, but he works in and through us. In fact, that's what we want, right? So he gives a message, and that's a great example to say to someone. The message may not make sense, but again, the message, like that example, God was using your gifting and your intimacy to touch someone else's life. But I think the caution I would give you when you're going to respond to God saying, I have a message for you to give to someone, we need to approach that person with love and humility, not so much, thus saith the Lord, but, you know, I was praying, or, you know, I felt like God was telling me this message to say to you. Maybe it'll mean something to you, maybe it won't, I don't know, but I want to at least say it, and then you can sort it out whether it's meaningful to you. But we need to be humble in not declaring, thus saith the Lord. So we can approach the message that we're supposed to give with humility, but we're also approaching with a lack of knowledge. We only have a certain amount of knowledge about what God's wanting us to say, because we don't really know how it's going to impact that person. Once they hear it and it hits them, they know. So
the thing about prophecy is, and you were reading it, where it says, according to your faith.
Measure your faith.
Okay. And what we're hearing here is the Lord is telling you to speak to someone, and there's a problem here, giving you word of knowledge, problem with the person. He gives you a heart for that person. Mm-hmm. And you're obedient, and you go. And all you do, the reason you need faith, is because he'll give you the first couple words. Mm-hmm. And then the Holy Spirit gives you the rest. Mm-hmm. And it might be from your own wisdom, from your own head knowledge, because you've read the Bible. And the Holy Spirit will do that. He'll pull scriptures out that you memorized 30 years ago, and you haven't seen it since. And it'll just come right into play, and it'll impact that person in a prophetic way. It was just what they needed to hear. Yeah. And the whole thing about 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, that most pastors in regular churches, put it that way, they want to chop them out of the Bible. 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, because they don't understand it. They don't experience it. What we're talking about here with prophecy and other gifts of the Spirit, they are of the Spirit of God. We have a Spirit. And the Bible says, draw close to me, draw close to God, and he will draw close to you. Do you really want gifts from God? Draw close. Do you really want to experience his presence? Praise him. Praise him, praise him, praise him in the daytime, and you're going to start experiencing the presence of God like you never have. There's nothing like it. You can't get enough of it. And that's the whole thing here in a nutshell. You read this stuff, and it's of the flesh. Oh, I'm a prophet. Oh, I have knowledge. Oh, I have wisdom. No. He's talking about the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
The
Spirit.
Wisdom of God. The knowledge of God. You were preaching one Sunday here, and I'm sitting over here. It's just a section of scripture there where Jesus talked to the Samaritan woman. Something came over me, a peace. It was a word of knowledge about that particular section of scripture. She called him Son of David. Found out later, the Jews called him the Messiah, Son of David. She wasn't a Jew. She was Samaritan, or a Syrophoenician woman, and she referred to him as Messiah in so many words. The Jews called people that weren't Jews dogs. It was just common. It sounds a terrible thing to say to somebody. He said, yeah, I'm a dog, but I heard enough of your word from the crumbs that fell from the table. I heard enough to know you're the Messiah. Pray for my daughter. Deliver her. He said the word and she was delivered. And she wasn't a Jew. It's the Holy Spirit told me this. I'm not a student of the Bible. He gave me the word of knowledge. My wife, Donna, I've told you this, she's in a woman's below me, 150 women in this big room. They were all praying, noise, hands in the air, praising God. And she had been so frustrated with her family because they were Catholic. She was raised Catholic. And she's trying to tell them they're wrong and try to correct them. And this woman on the other side of the room spoke a prophetic word to her. Out of all these people talking, she said it was like everybody shut down. And this one person spoke directly, barely to her ear. She said, it was a woman's voice, but I knew it was Jesus. And she said, the woman said, stop being critical of your family and love them. That was it. But it shook her to the core. Because this is something she's been dealing with for years. That's what real prophecy is. You don't have to worry about, well, yes, you do have to check it with the Bible for sure. But a lot of times, the Holy Spirit will tell you if it's on target or not. If it's not, it's something sour, something doesn't feel right. If you have the Holy Spirit, when it's right on target, sometimes it sits you down. It takes a hold of you so strong. Yeah. He says this is like what it says, gifts of healing. Gifts, plural. Because somebody doesn't have a gift of healing. Nobody does. Jesus does. And he gives gifts. He does the same thing with prophecy, tongues, all these things we don't understand because there's so much phoniness going on. And he will give a person a prophetic word. He'll give them a word of knowledge. He'll give them wisdom in a difficult situation that nobody else is thinking of. A wise man can say the sin because it comes from God. It's pure. It's like that heavenly light. And it says in here in the last days in 2 Timothy 3, that we were reading.
Was it four?
Mm-hmm. Verse 3. I'm just going to read it. It's pretty cool because Paul was talking to a church. It sounds like he's talking to the world. He's talking to people that are going to church. Without my glasses, I'm going to read it. It's by memory, most of it, right?
Yes.
This is 3. 2 Timothy 3. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. Perilous. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers of the Holy Spirit, disobedient to parents, unthankful. Does this sound familiar? Unholy. unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. And he's talking about Christians. He's talking about the flesh. And we all deal with this junk. Don't have more self-control than others. But it says it's going to be perilous times in the last days. Now, number 5 is really interesting.
having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people turn away. He's talking about blasphemers. He's talking about people in white robes, thus saith the Lord. And that's a dangerous place, according to the Bible, to be. Because God talks about it in there, and he says, who are these guys? But I never told them that. And they are prophesying. The real prophets of Jeremiah. You got a word from God. Word for word. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does the same thing today.
Amen.
He gives you a word to somebody. But you need faith because you have to step out to help somebody or step out to talk to them, and the Holy Spirit takes over.
But what we're talking about is being led by the Spirit.
Yes.
Yeah, I was just thinking about 1 Corinthians 14, which is pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. And then verse 3, on the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. And but the one who prophesies builds up the church. So I just, it really is, speaks to me how we should be about prophecy, which is upbuilding, encouragement, and consolation to each other. And so that's what it's all about.
Yeah, well, you.
It feels like we have to get it, like the Lord's saying, take it back from what the world did to it. Take it back from what the enemy has done.
Doug's saying same, just the world.
To bring it back to
people in the church.
Yeah. Oh, sure. The uncircumcised flesh. And,
but, you know, it's intriguing because that was my closing scripture.
Yeah.
If you look down, but I also want to read 1 Corinthians 14, 29 through 33. And it says, otherwise, what will those do? Sorry, that's 15, 14. Let two or three prophets speak and let the others pass judgment. But if a revelation is made to one another, to another who is seated, the first one must keep silent. You can all prophesy one by one so that you all may learn and all may be exhorted. And the spirits of prophets are subject to prophets. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, as in all of the churches of the saints. And so we have this one another time, and that's what we're going to be doing right now. And that is the core purpose. The whole basis of our one another time is so that each person can prophesy. In other words, you can foretell the word of God. We want to hear from you. How's God working in your life? We want to hear scriptures that you've been dealing with. I'm getting carried away.
Yeah.